This is Insight on Business, the news hour for Tuesday, November 5th, 2013. My name is Michael Libby, and for this hour, I'm pleased to have you along as we cover the business news of the day on the only hour-long live and local business broadcast in the region. Today, along with the news, stocks, and agricultural commodity report, we'll welcome two guests to the IOB newsroom. This half hour, we'll be visiting with Jason White from the Warren County Economic Development Corporation. Warren County has been the scene of some remarkable economic development news, and Jason's going to be in to detail those stories and more. And then next half hour, we'll make welcome Katie Roth of Portico Staffing, a local employment agency here in the metro. What is it with her business? What does it offer other businesses, and why did she call her company Portico? That and more with Katie Roth. We'll get into the business news of the day right after we check weather and traffic. Thanks for listening. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend, the executive with the Warren County Economic Development Corporation, for a Warren County update. And yes, we'll ask him about that Norwalk story. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, comes from the Creamer Law Firm of West Des Moines, a partner for closing held companies. West Bank of West Des Moines, for business, they're West Bank strong. And the Warren County Economic Development Corporation of Indianola, Warren County is open for business.
Insight on Business, this is the News Hour. Welcome back. We've got 16 and a half minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. If you have not yet voted, you can still do that for about an hour and a half. Head to the polls and make sure that you vote. The city elections are going on. The referendum with regard to the Polk County Courthouse is happening, and lots of important things all over the metro. So make sure that you exercise your responsibility and go vote. I know when I did earlier today, about noon, I voted in Windsor Heights, where I live, and I was the 150th person. Another individual called me from Beaverdale saying that he was 136th, and they were hoping for a 10% turnout, but at 136, well, anyway, they think they may be lucky to get 8% turnout. That's too bad. He's the executive with the Warren County Economic Development Corporation, a good friend. He has been on the ball in Warren County for a long time, celebrating the successes of economic development. It is something that we all raise the flag on because things are happening in Warren County. We just had a lead story about a business moving from Des Moines to Norwalk. We're going to ask Jason White from the Warren County Executive, the Warren County Economic Development Corporation. I don't know what the heck is the matter with me today. About that question and more. Welcome, Jason.
Hi, Michael.
You got me all flummoxed. You know, you're sitting in a Burger King parking lot with a broke down car. I'm sorry about that.
Well, I'm sorry. I was not able to join you in the studio, but the good news is glass half full is that the tow truck's not going to be here for another 45 minutes. The thing I could be doing is talking to you right now.
So we could talk about all kinds of things. Well, it's too bad. Our lead story today was something about going out in Norwalk with Lofredo. What's the story there?
Well, Lofredo is a long-established company in Des Moines, I think. I heard you read the story earlier. And what you said is correct, except for the part that they are not actually relocating from Des Moines, four miles south of Norwalk. They're actually establishing a new manufacturing facility.
Expanding their manufacturing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. 1892. They've been in Des Moines.
Yeah, they're a long established, you know, family owned company, and so this has come together pretty quick. You know, originally I think they had some desires to expand around their current facility. Of course, they're a wholesaler for produce, fruits and vegetables and whatnot. And I think they just determined that the space they needed was just too great for what the project entailed. So luckily, Norwalk, in terms of its location, is just a couple miles away.
Yep.
We already have a good just food distributor company in terms of Capital City Fruit, which does some business with Lafredo, and seemed like a good match.
Well, it all makes sense, and we're so grateful. In reality, we are so grateful that they didn't pick up and move to St. Louis.
Well, that's true. And, you know, one of the things we spend a lot of time on is business retention and expansion. And, you know, building relationships with your current companies is priceless.
Oh, it is.
And, yeah, this is a good win for the entire region.
Absolutely. And, you know, and people don't really recognize the fact that oftentimes that Warren County is just a stone's throw away from Polk County, just right over the border. And Des Moines and Norwalk are almost sister cities, you know, sharing some landscape together. And so this really isn't like it's going to the eastern side of the state or some other place or some other state or St. Louis. It's really keeping it right here in the metro.
You know, I think the current location, their headquarter location, the distance from that or the time it takes to get from that to their new proposed location in Norwalk is something like 5 to 10 minutes. So, you know, no question. It logistically, it just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. You've got all kinds of things been going on in not only Norwalk, but throughout Warren County. And you've got this awards program that's going on, and people have been voting for their favorite business in economic development. How are things going?
You know, things are going pretty well. I mean, again, going back to the, you know, business retention and expansion and that being the cornerstone of an economic development program is, you know, one of the things that's important is to recognize those companies that are providing a high level of economic impact in your county and or community. And in this case, we've kind of developed a couple of, you know, maybe non-traditional awards for recognizing companies, such as, you know, best exporter or best innovation. And I think, you know, that's going to help get a lot of these companies some recognition, and but at the same time, well-deserved recognition. But at the same time, you know, kind of be a good team event, I guess, so to speak, for our Warren County neighborhood.
Well, it's also good publicity. I mean, there's perhaps lots of people in Warren County or in Polk County that may not know what these businesses do. And so having them bubble to the top in an awards program where people get to vote and they get to be engaged in the whole process helps expand the knowledge base of the citizenry.
Well, there's no question about that. I mean, I had the fortune of sitting on a panel earlier today with the CEO of Cementec, one of our local industries, and people know them as a manufacturer of volumetric cement mixers. But, you know, what's happened is a lot of entrepreneurs that don't have the capital to establish their own facilities but have ideas are going to Cementec saying, hey, can you manufacture this for us? You got the know-how. So, you know, I think that's a good example of entrepreneurs partnering with existing businesses.
And you have a revolving loan fund there as well, don't you?
Our board a couple months ago voted to set aside $100,000 to establish a countywide revolving loan fund for new and small business growth. And that's something that has never existed to this extent in Warren County. And basically, we'll make loans out to companies or in partnership with a bank loan, and then that money will be repaid, and then we can relend it to other businesses that need help.
Yeah, and that's just a great way for, again, not only retention. You know, some businesses would like to be able to be retained, and so there's a tool for that, or also the recruitment side. But you've said this now at least three times, and I want to pick up on it and say this again, how important it is to be able to retain the existing businesses that you have within your boundaries so that, you know, I mean, it costs less to retain than what it does to go out and recruit, I imagine.
You know, it's a simple business concept. It's true in the business world. It's true in the economic development world, which is, you know, your best spokespeople are your current customers.
And
you know that, I'm sure, very well as an entrepreneur. So, yeah, I think that that's something we've dedicated a lot of time to, and it's the reason that why our organization received the best overall program award for business retention and expansion this last spring by Governor Branstad.
Yeah, and things are happening in Warren County, and you and your board and the people that are involved down there, your development campaign raising, how many million?
It was upwards of about $1.8 million or so.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. And congratulations. Speaking of money, Jason White from the Warren County Economic Development Corporation is our guest via phone right now. Last week we had this story on a local level about SBA, the Small Business Administration. They gave out 103 loans here in Polk County worth $33.9 million. And in Warren County, businesses there received 15 loans worth $5.1 million, and Dallas County received 6 loans worth about $683,000. You got a comment for us on that? Small Business Association, that's a good number of loans to Warren County.
Well, I think it also is a real testament to our lenders, too, because, and I've been in places where lenders simply won't get involved in making SBA loans or USDA guarantees or what have you, because they just don't have the experience. And I think, our lenders, City State Bank, Community Bank, People's Bank, all the way down the line, they're not just taking, deposits and, putting money having people put their money in their bank. They're aggressively making business loans and seeking out opportunities and good deals. So, I think this is a good time. I think that we're seeing a lot of growth, and we're seeing projects that we haven't seen in several years, and our banks want to be a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And SBA is a good program for them to help them make those deals.
You know, you are blessed in Warren County to have some really outstanding partners in loads of different things, and one of those partners continues to be, and you talk about bubbling up towards the top. We're hearing more and more out of our friends at Simpson College in Indianola.
Oh, sure.
How's that working out with the Economic Development Corporation? How do you guys work in partnership?
We work very closely with Simpson College, and I think that's a relationship that's really expanded over the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
As Simpson's looked at trying to develop more of an entrepreneurial curriculum, they're in the process of also developing kind of a think tank incubator center,
right,
where their students can get some experience taking business ideas and developing business models. Again, it gets those students thinking about what they'll do after college. And, a lot of times, what students are thinking about what they're doing after college is, how many resumes can I send out, and get that and land that job. And Simpson College is doing a good job of getting to think about another option, which is, why don't you start your own business? And so I think Simpson is really doing a nice job of kind of fostering some innovative thinking and entrepreneurial thinking among his students. And we've definitely been partnering with them in some of those types of initiatives.
Yeah, and I can speak from firsthand experience. I've had the pleasure of being asked to come down and speak several times to business students there at Simpson College about advertising and marketing and consumer trends and those types of things that we specialize in at our advertising agency. And the students are engaged and they're interested and they're looking towards the future, and they understand the utilization of all of the tools, or many of the tools anyway, that go into that from the social media standpoint. So, it's a pleasure to be able to have something like that is one of the backbone issues that you've got in a community like Indianola and in a county like Warren County.
Well, no question. It's probably the first community I've ever worked in that had a 4-year liberal arts institution. And it's definitely probably the largest economic driver that we have in Warren County.
Yeah, we're constantly amazed at the economic items that Drake University, for example, puts together here in the Des Moines metro area, Des Moines University, Graceland, all of the college that are here in Polk County, kind of come second nature. But when you're in a relatively rural county like Warren County, you don't have that opportunity for a 4-year liberal arts college in most of Iowa. So that is a real benefit to you.
Well, they operate in a very competitive environment, too.
Absolutely.
And they know they're private institutions, and they don't it's a competitive world, and we all live in it, and so do they.
Yeah. Jason White, ladies and gentlemen, he's with the Warren County Economic Development Corporation. What's new? What's on the horizon, Jason, for your part of the world just south of the metro?
Well, we've got a lot of things in store, and obviously you mentioned one of the projects we spend a lot of time on, which is the Lofredo project in Norwalk. But beyond that, I know we've been involved in trying to recruit a grocery store to Carlisle, and you know, Carlisle, as I've remarked before, maybe the largest community in the state of Iowa, certainly probably the largest in a metro area mm-hmm. in the state of Iowa that does not have a grocery store.
Isn't that amazing?
And so the city and the county have been very aggressively trying to put together a package, and I think we've got a good one in store, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks we can put the final touches in getting Carlisle there. Grocery store and feeding the needs of their community.
You know, that's so important when you talk about grocery stores, and we're having that experience here in the River Bend area, just on the near north side of Des Moines, trying to get for years they were trying to get a grocery store there, and there's now one there, and that helps those communities that otherwise have to rely on convenience stores. Not that there's anything wrong with convenience stores, but they can't carry everything.
Well, and another thing is too, and that part of the county, and you know, we talk a lot about how Warren County is connected to the metro, but we have 10, 11 very small communities in our county, and there's people that want to build houses there, there's people want to open up businesses
Absolutely.
There, and if they have to go a half hour, you know, to buy groceries or whatever, you know, that limits their opportunities to attract new investment.
Well, I think that's really insightful of you to say, because when you bring these kinds of things to a community, it makes it much more attractive to build housing, and the housing, of course, adds to the tax base, and the tax base, you know, all of those things start to spiral into a really very viable, livable community. That's smart. Jason, thanks so very much for being here. I wish you could have come into the studio today, and we could have had this conversation in person. It's been some time since I've had a chance to put eyeballs on you.
We'll have to take a rain check on that. I always enjoy coming on your show.
We will certainly have you back before we get it too wrapped up into the holiday season. I suspect you've already voted, haven't you?
Oh, yes, a couple weeks ago. Vote early, vote often, right?
The Chicago way, my friend. Thank you so very much, Jason, for stopping in.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. So, hey, by the way, say hi to Marquita when you see her, would you?
Yeah, I definitely will. Yeah,
Marquita Oliver, ladies and gentlemen, she's the city administrator there in Norwalk, and she was for a long period of time a very capable city administrator in Windsor Heights, and I just saw her.
Doing a nice job in that Lofredo deal, too.
Yeah. Congratulations. Thanks so very much. Yep, Jason bye. White, ladies and gentlemen, from the Warren County Economic Development Corporation. We've got 5:31. We're going to make room for the Wall Street Journal report, the weather, traffic, stocks of local interest, and the commodity numbers. And this half hour, Katie Roth is going to join us from Portico. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour. When we come back, we'll make room for Katie Roth from Portico Staffing. Stay with us for some great business-to-business information. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.
Support for Insight on Business, the NewsHour, comes from the Creamer Law Firm of West Des Moines, a partner for closing held companies. West Bank of West Des Moines. For business, they're West Bank strong. And the Warren County Economic Development Corporation of Indianola. Warren County is open for business.
Indeed. Thanks so very much for joining us. We've got 20 minutes now before the top of the hour. CBS News at the top of the hour. And we get to do this each and every day, Monday through Friday, from 5 until 6 o'clock, talking about the economic development stories of the metro and the cool things that are going on between business and business. If you have a story for us, send it to us, iobnewsroom@gmail.com. That's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. If you've got questions for us or for our guests or comments or, you know, even if you want to say something bad to us, we'll be nice. You can do that on Twitter. It's IOB_NewsHour. That's IOB_NewsHour. And we will tweet back. Promise. Well, this is going to be fun. Katie Roth and I have never met, but we've known each other digitally, you might say, because I've followed her on LinkedIn and we've communicated via phone and I've seen her website, and apparently we had an impact with her from a conversation because she changed something on the website. We're going to talk about that and more. Katie Roth from Portico Staffing. If you are a business, listen up, because this is some great business-to-business information. Welcome to the NewsHour, Katie.
Thank you, Michael. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you here.
Thank you.
We had such a fun time on the telephone a week ago, and so I expect this to be spontaneous and fun and enjoyable, and people out there are going to say, wow, that Katie Roth is really cool.
Is that because you told them I have a face for radio?
No, no, I would never do that. Very attractive young woman. The burning question, and we've talked about it, Dustin and I have, Portico Staffing does what?
We are an employment agency. So what we do is find jobs for people. We do temp to hire, we do temporary, and we also do direct hire placement. So,
okay.
And mostly in the Central Iowa area.
Is there a specialty that you have?
You know, that's a good question. It's almost easier to tell you what we don't do, Michael.
Uh-huh.
We don't do a lot of IT and we don't do a lot of engineering.
Okay.
Those are really specialized fields.
Very.
And, boy, you really have to know what you're doing when you're trying to recruit people for those positions. And so that kind of leads, we do a lot of human resources. We do sales. We do high-end office administration. We do a lot of accounting. I've done some nonprofit work, finding development people.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's in the office, we pretty much do it with the exception of IT and engineering. So.
Katie Roth, ladies and gentlemen, Portico Staffing in studio with us. So when you do these types of placements, are you mostly working in the Des Moines metro area?
Yes. Yeah, we pretty much.
So you're very local.
We are. We are local. I started the company about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had been with a national firm for almost 10 years, a long time ago. I got in the business when I was pregnant with my son, and he'll turn 27 next
week.
So,
congratulations.
I earned my gray hair.
Yeah.
So I've been in some type of either staffing or human resource related mm-hmm. type industry. And so 8 years ago, I was with another company. We decided to shake hands and part friends, and I went back in the staffing business for a couple of reasons. First off, it's a tremendously rewarding. I just love my job. I get up every day and I find jobs for people, and you know, it's a win-win because
absolutely.
I find good people for our great client base. So, I mean, from that standpoint, it's really fun. It's also getting to be, it's going to be much more of a challenge coming up because we have a huge labor shortage coming down the pike. You know, unemployment in Iowa is low.
Tell me about that.
Yeah.
And this is tough.
It is tough. And a certain percentage of those people are unemployable
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more and more companies are going to have to turn to staffing agencies, hopefully mine, to go find those people. Because especially on the perm side, what you find is a lot of times the candidates that the clients are looking for, they're not looking for them. They got their head down. They're happy in their position.
Mm.
They may be open to another opportunity, but they don't have their resume posted on CareerBuilder or Monster. And those people have to be sought off. They're what we call passive candidates.
You know, one of the things I have such a definitive distaste for are these job boards that are all over the place because of this reason. There are so many resumes and things out there. Good luck ever being found unless you're very creative in some way. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And part of the issue is that it's so easy now to apply for a job. You know, back when I was applying for a job, Michael, you know, I actually had to stick a piece of paper in a typewriter.
Or actually go someplace. Yeah, yeah, I know.
Or put a stamp on the envelope.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we can run an ad for a very specialized position, and we could get 50 to 100 resumes. And I can tell you something. 90% of those are not applicable for the position. They're not qualified
really?
For the position. It's just too easy to hit the send button and hoping that they get a response.
And sifting through all those, if I'm an employer out there, I would suspect that this is your pitch. If I'm an employer out there, and I don't have the time or the talent or the resources sometimes to go out there and sift through all of these message boards, all of these job boards, and we had someone in, and I can't remember who, but we had someone in not very long ago that was talking about they posted a position that had 600 resume sent in.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me. And the sad thing is that the 10 people that they might wanted to talk to was from 590 to 600. And by that time, they're so burned out, they quit looking, they get discouraged. And the other thing, too, is unfortunately in this day and age, you know, a lot of people don't tell the whole truth on their resume. I think there's a national staffing firm that does a survey every year, and about 40% there's a misstatement.
I just saw that that piece, yeah.
Yeah, and people mislead about their education, the times that they worked at the organization. They may lengthen it a little bit to, you know, have a to hide a gap in their employment. So it's takes a lot of time to sift through those resumes, and then also to be able to ask the right questions of the candidate. Most of the time, we find that once we determine whether or not they have the knowledge and the skills and the ability to do the job, it's whether or not it's a good fit in the workplace, if it's a good fit culturally.
Sure. Katie Roth, ladies and gentlemen, Portico Staffing, business-to-business news that you can use if you're in business and happen to be looking for employees. We went through this recession, Katie, and it was really tough on a lot of businesses. How did that impact your business?
You know, it did hurt. I will not mislead you on that. We were very fortunate in that. At that time, we were pretty small. And so, you know, when a lot of services dropped 25%, we only had to drop 5.
Sure.
But we had a lot of clients that had huge temporary staff workforces that, you know, let 10 to 15 people go at a time. So we did okay. Actually, we grew a little bit in those years. But it was a rebuilding time. You know, you use that opportunity to go out and call on your clients to find out what they're really looking for. Life is cyclical. You know that from the stocks and bonds. So we knew that the market was going to come back. And, you know, we've got this, not only the unemployment situation, but we have this huge labor shortage coming down the pike because all the baby boomers my age, you know, and above are going to
retire.
They're going to retire. But because
who's going to take that place? I know.
It's, Michael, it's going to be
huge. It is scary. I'm not sure businesses really tend to understand that. We had John Hale from the Hale Group in just the other day talking about direct caregivers. Now, this is something you probably don't do searches for, but he was telling me that direct caregiving staff, and that's from long-term health care all the way through disability health care, home health care, all these different agencies, is the largest group of employees in the state at 73,000. And even at that point, we're 20,000 short. They cannot find, I could name you a dozen manufacturing companies out in the hinterland around Des Moines, can't find welders, pipe fitters, electricians, can't find them. You know, and people are saying, well, wait a minute, how come I can't get a job? And we know that there are people still unemployed and still working. Some people have given up. And so that's really an issue, and it's a question. Why are there some people that are still unemployed? And we're not making a judgment call here. We're just, why is that still happening? Are they not making the right connection?
Yeah, I think part of it is some of them might have just given up. Some of them might have not been able to find the job that to make the money that they earned previously. I think, you know, I'm probably speaking out of bounds here, but I think a lot of companies use the recession to get rid of a lot of people that were well overpaid for what they were doing.
Yeah.
And so when they tried to go find comparable jobs, those jobs were just not available. We had a lot of situation, too, where people were just willing to sit on their tuchus and collect unemployment for a couple of years. And your skill set gets rusty. It shows that you don't have a lot of ambition. Because I truly, truly believe that if you want to work, there's a job out there for you.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Unfortunately, in many of these jobs, in many jobs, not in where you're looking at, but you know, the rate of pay is so low that some of these people have to have two and three jobs to be able to make ends meet. And that's something that's got to be fixed one of these days. But I don't do politics on this show.
Not today on election day.
Well, yeah. We're hoping. I just got a tweet just moments ago.
Oh.
I was really not happy about the voter turnout on this off-year election. And I just got a piece from a good friend of mine, Romel Slaughter, who says that we may have beaten the averages. They were hoping for a 10% voter turnout, but it looks like we've surpassed that from a couple of years ago. So that's maybe good.
That's great news.
Yeah, people are coming out in droves, I guess, here in the Des Moines metro. There's some hotly contested city council elections. And, of course, the courthouse plan is on the ballot this time for that $81 million expansion. So you've still got time to vote, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'm telling you. You've got an hour and 10 minutes.
A very good friend of mine says, voting is not the most you can do, but it's the least you can do.
Absolutely, yeah. And don't kvetch if you don't, you know, if you don't vote,
yes,
don't kvetch.
Exactly.
Gee, we're just getting out of here. Katie Roth is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She has Portico Staffing, and she is the person that you go to find people to work at your business. On Thursday, we have Amy Fredrickson from The Principal, who's just done some remarkable research in a nationwide piece looking at small to medium-sized businesses. Most small to medium-sized, we're going to really drill in on this on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, so you want to be able to be paying attention to this. Most medium to large-sized businesses are very, very upbeat about the future of the economy, the future of their business, the sales opportunities, but yet they're not hiring people because they have, and I suspect they've learned that they can get 99% of the work done with 85% of the employees. Are you finding something?
Absolutely. There's no question that everybody's doing more with less. Part of it's technology.
Sure.
I mean, technology has really made our industry much more, we're able to get much more, many more people contacted, that type of thing. I mean, in the old days, we had what we called an Acme Visible, and we had cards with people. Now everything's computerized. But I think the world of work is going to change dramatically. With the labor, we're going to have people that are older that are going to continue to work for benefits. I think there's going to be a lot more job sharing than there's ever going to be. I think good employers are going to have to really bend over backwards to keep them, because if not, they'll be recruited away by people like me. You know, a lot of women want to work out of the house because they want to have children.
Sure. And now technology allows this to happen. Yeah, and it is a real switch. And so we're not seeing people driving as much. We're seeing flexible hours. We're seeing all kinds of cool things in the marketplace. I was just told the other day that there's a business here in town that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon rolls out the beer cart.
Where's that place? I'm going to go work there. Michael, we need to go find that place.
I'm told it's called Business Solvers out in West Des Moines. I don't know, but I'm gonna have to snake by over there and see what's going on. We're gonna have to have them in and talk about that. Katie Roth is with us. She is the owner of Portico Staffing. Why did you call it Portico?
I called it Portico because a portico is a doorway or an entranceway that is supported by columns. And I felt it was a very fitting metaphor for what we do, because we open doors of opportunities for employees for new careers while we support our clients' staffing efforts. Now, the problem is, Michael, is nobody knows, unless you're an architect or an engineer, nobody knows what a portico is. So I should have named it Katie Roth & Associates.
Yeah.
But you know what? I thought I was being clever. Portico.com was available.
Sure. Hey, maybe Katie Roth wasn't, you know?
But that's why we chose the name. Is one of the things that I think we really pride ourselves on is we really want to make sure that it's a good fit for not only the employee, but the client. You know, it's got to be a mutually beneficial. I always work on a win-win scenario. And we want to make sure that I don't want an employee calling me in 6 months going, what did you do to me? And I don't want a client calling me in 6 months saying, you know what, this wasn't the right person for the position.
Absolutely. Yeah. That doesn't win any friends anywhere. What types of jobs out there are most in demand?
Wow, that's a really good question. We always have customer service positions open. We always have data entry positions open. We have two or three great office manager positions right now that we're recruiting for, and those are on the perm side because we do temp to hire, temporary, and direct hire. If you have an accounting degree, you can always find a job because accountants are hugely in demand right now. Of course, IT will never that'll never go away. But companies are growing. Some companies are hiring on the temp to hire side because they're just a little bit nervous right now. They may not be willing to make that final step and hire somebody. The other big question about what's going to affect our industry is how healthcare is going to impact the client base. Because if you're over 50 employees, you're going to have to offer healthcare. They're going to have to go out and get it. So that's a big unknown for our industry right now. But I have to tell you, I think it's going to be a positive.
Oh, I think it's going to be hugely positive.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, and again, I don't do politics on the show. We just do economic development and talk about those types of things that are important to business. And I think that this whole thing is so critical for employee retention, peace of mind. I mean, can you imagine you can no longer be kicked out of your policy for a pre-existing condition? And these things are peace of mind things for employees.
It's really, if people know me, they know that typically I'm more on the Republican side, but I do have to admit.
I'll change that.
Are you the one with the, let's see, what was
it?
The Braley sticker.
Yes, the Bruce Braley sticker is proudly on my vehicle, yes.
But,
I make no bones about it. You know why I do that, Katie? I got to tell you. Because, you know, and we do a business show. And I think it's so, we had Jack Hatch on not very long ago. And I said to him, I said, so how, where did this rumor, this myth come from that you're anti-business if you're a Democrat? I've never quite understood that. And I don't think that's true. And neither did Jack. And because we're entrepreneuring right now, for crying out loud.
And you know what? Both the Democrats and Republicans have to want to push the economy forward. I mean,
there you go. My favorite line in the world, and I say this wherever two or more are gathered. I was at an event in Warren County about a year ago, and Jay Byers, a good friend here with the partnership, was down there, and he was being introduced. And somebody said something about, you know, he was probably, well, I think there were three Democrats in the room of about 300 people. And somebody said, well, you know, he's not the same religion as many of us, you know. And then Jay Byers got up there. It's a great line, come back. He says, I'll tell you what, my religion is economic development. And well put, Jay. But I think you're right. I think that most people want to see us succeed. It doesn't matter on which side of the aisle. We can talk about the nuances of how that works. But the basic reality is that you want your business to succeed. I want mine to succeed. And I'm going to be trying to help you do what it does to make it happen.
Well, and small businesses is the biggest creator of jobs. I mean, you know, so if anything in the economy that helps small businesses are the ones they're the ones that are hiring people. So,
Katie Roth, thanks for coming in and visiting with us. Dustin is over here giving me signals.
He says, my pleasure.
You guys are talking too much. You see, I knew this was going to work out well. Hey, when we come back, we've got a couple of real quick stories for you. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
Support for Insight on Business, the News Hour, comes from Mr. B Clothing. Clothing for business and leisure. Rick Davis Loans, Home Loans Made Easy. And Merit Resources, where they carry your employees' backpack.
I don't know what you're doing tomorrow for lunch, but here's an idea. The Drake University and the partnership invite you to join for the 14th season of Let's DU, Let's Do Lunch, a professional speaker series that gets you in front of all kinds of folks. Networking starts at the Embassy Club, 666 Grand Avenue at 11:30. And the speaker for tomorrow is Christina Moffitt. Have yourself a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.